The church say amen.
Amen.
Church say amen again.
Amen.
And one more time for the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We bless the Lord today. God bless you all. Welcome into worship, deeper into worship. We pray that you have already been blessed by prayer and that you've already been blessed by the praises that have gone up. Won't you stand to your feet and turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Luke, the Gospel of St. Luke, Luke chapter 12, amen, Luke chapter number 12, and as you're turning there, I want you to also get Matthew. We're going to primarily be in Luke, but there are two scriptures I want to which I want to draw your attention, Luke 12, Matthew 6, but the focus of our sermon lesson today will be Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 34. Say amen. We've located that text.
Amen.
To God be the glory. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter number 12. And once you've arrived there, I want you to focus your attention on verse number 22. Which, if your Bible is like mine, begins another section of focus in this 12th chapter. And in this 12th chapter, Jesus says in verse 22, then he said to his disciples, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food. And the body is more than clothing. Verse 24, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap which have, and they neither sow nor reap which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, nor for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, and where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Go over to Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, and just look quickly at verse chapter number 6. It is the same text, but it is couched in a slightly different way in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. And so I want you to hear it from Matthew's perspective as well. Matthew chapter 6, and I want you to look at verse number 32. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Here ends the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May it edify and may it sanctify the people of God. I would that you pray with me, beloved, on the title of today's sermon, Get Thee Behind Me, Satan. Get Thee Behind Me, Satan. I want to actually use this title on a series of sermons the Lord has shared with me to share with you. And the first of these is about worrying. So get thee behind me, Satan, the series. And today we're going to talk about not worrying. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray that your words would not return thee unto thee void, but that they may accomplish that which you intended for them to accomplish. May hearts be encouraged, O God. May minds be illuminated, O God. May souls be convicted today, I pray, O God. We thank you for what has already transpired in worship here today. The people of God have praised you. They prayed unto you. And now, dear God, we want to preach about you and your divine word. Let the anointing of the Most High God fall fresh in this place. And God, we shall be ever careful to celebrate your name, give you glory, praise, and honor. Lift up the name of Jesus. For you said, if you be lifted up, you will draw all men, women unto thee, O God. We love you, we praise you, we glorify, and we magnify you. It is in the name of Jesus, our Christ, that we do pray. That all of God's children, the redeemed of the Lord, say, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. We're grateful today for another opportunity to stand before his people. Ushers, you may be seated as well. Today I want to talk about, I want to launch this sermon series, a new sermon series, about different feelings and sentiments that Satan often uses to draw us off course in dealing with God's program. I am convinced that we who are people of faith must build up our spiritual resources to be able to look at what the devil, the enemy, Satan, Lucifer, whatever you want to call him, is trying to do to derail us, dissuade us, and discourage us from being the man of God, the woman of God, the young man of God, the young woman of God, the boy or the girl whom God is fashioning. I believe Satan has come to kill, steal, and destroy. And so part of his arsenal to get us off the track that God has us moving on is a series of sentiments and feelings and experiences that detract and take us away from the goal that God has us on. And so I've listed a few of those today on this screen. Issues like worrying about stuff we really can't change. Dealing with anxiety about things that if you just showed up and let God have it, everything will work out all right. Issues of fear and being afraid of going into new experiences, new ministry opportunities, new ventures of where God wants to take all of us somewhere, but because some of us are afraid of what we see, then we forfeit that which God has purposed and ordained in and for our lives. Another issue that Satan often uses us to take us off track and move us off the coin where God would have us to be are issues of anger and revenge. And so these issues are part of a great list in what I believe the scriptures list in the book of Galatians as the fruit of the flesh. And I believe that as a child of the Most High God, we must understand when Satan is trying to move us from the spirit realm into the flesh realm, and understanding that anytime we are operating in and out of our flesh, we are not operating in the spirit. And anytime we are not operating in the spirit, we are in fear and danger of not moving in the direction that God would have us to move. Now, I believe God is a big God. God can do everything but faith. fail. God, as Minister Dave prayed just a few minutes ago, even when we mess up, the thing that God is looking for is, are we of enough sense and humility to fall on our knees and say, Lord, I have failed. Lord, I have messed up. Lord, I have gone off track. Forgive me, Lord. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Anybody been cleaned up lately? Anybody been cleansed lately? Because all of us should be giving God a praise offering right now, because all of us have messed up. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us need God's grace and mercy. And yet all we have to do after we have given our lives to the Lord is, when we fall short, is confess and fall on our knees. If we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is a beautiful scripture, because it lets me know that even though I am not saved by my works, that because I am saved and because I realize I fall short, I've got to do some things. I've got to go before the Lord and I've got to say, God, I am sorry, because you already know what I said, what I did, what I thought, where I went. Amen, somebody. And so the fact of the matter is, you already know it. And so I'm not telling you anything you all don't already know, but God wants us to know that He already knows. And so by us telling Him, it is our admission to the Most High God of what we have in, what we are in need of. And so I've stopped by this morning because, you know, as I look at the newspaper today, and as I try to do every day, and just get a sense of what the world is looking at. I always then try to say, oh, Father, this is what's on the newspaper. Here's what's on the news. Here's what CNN is forecasting and broadcasting. My God, the terrible typhoon that hit the Philippines. Let's pray for those people. 10,000 plus individuals feared, wiped away, swept away in a current of flood, a torrent of water. We must ask God's blessings upon that island nation and upon those multiple islands. Many of those folk living in abject poverty, some of whom were not even on the radar screen to begin with, let alone being washed away into the ocean. And so that makes me sad. Of course it does. It makes me sad what's going on in the Middle East. It makes me sad about some of the poverty. I look at what's happening in Africa and Asia and Central America. And yet in the middle of all of that sadness, I've got to keep asking myself, God, what have you called me to project as a child of the Most High God? I know what it looks like, God, but what am I to believe in? Who am I to believe in? And what message am I to project to the world? And so that is a challenge that I want to talk to us about as we get ready to move in out of the general seasons of our liturgical calendar, get ready to move into our Advent season, Christmas season, Epiphany season, Holy Week season, Lenten season, Holy Week season, Resurrection Sunday in April of next year, and then Pentecost Sunday in June of next year. These next 6 months remind us of the great light that Jesus came to shine in the midst of the darkness. And I just need some folk who really believe that Jesus is the light of the world. We need to project that light. This little light that we have, we've got to let it shine. Because there's enough messed up thinking already out there in the world. There's enough pessimism and negativism to last the rest of our lives. There's enough skepticism and cynicism to make us fear and worry and doubt. And yet I believe that as a child of the Most High God, whose report am I going to believe? Am I going to believe the world's report? Am I going to believe God's report? And am I going to believe what I'm looking at, or am I going to believe what I know? Am I going to believe Anderson Cooper on CNN, or am I going to have more faith and belief in Jesus, my Christ, right there in the Gospels? Whose report am I going to believe in? And I just stop by to say that these are things that we often let get the best of us, worry and fear and anxiety and anger and revenge. And I want you to just see and be reminded of what the scriptures have to say about these subjects. I want to start today off with looking at worrying, because right there in the text, the word worry is mentioned. It mentions that Jesus mentions this both in the Lucan text as well as the Matthean text. In Matthew as well as in Luke, this word worry is mentioned explicitly. As I said, look more at chapter 12 of Luke's gospel, but don't keep a finger or a bookmark in chapter 6 of Matthew's gospel. Jesus, this series of teachings, we believe, theologians believe, is what's called the Sermon on the Mount. In the Matthew, you see it more readily that Jesus, after the genealogy, after his nativity scene, and after all of these things, he was tempted. And then after that, he was led, and he began to speak to the people, the disciples who are going to follow him. If you're going to follow me, here's how I need you to be. If you're going to follow me, here's how I need you to act. If you're going to follow me, here's how I need you to think. If you're going to follow me, here's how I need you to react. If you can't handle this, then don't pick up the mantle. I'm not going to drop something on you while we're in it that I'm not telling you at the beginning of it. Jesus says, if you're going to be my disciples, here's what I need you to do. And he goes into a whole litany of teachings. In Matthew, it's called the Beatitudes and the Similitudes. In Matthew, it's the being salt of the earth and light in the midst of darkness. In Matthew, he says, here's how I want you to give your alms or give your charity. In Matthew, here's how I want you to pray. In Matthew, here's how I want you to respond to those who do things indecently against you. In Matthew, but he picks this up throughout the Gospels. And so Luke's text is a little different, but it's the same teaching. We're going to simply liken this teaching to the teaching on the mountain. Jesus went up to a small hill and on the Sea of Galilee began to teach the people of God of how I want you to act, how I want you to think, how I want you to be. And beloved, I think the same thing that Jesus gave his disciples back then is the same thing that Jesus is giving his disciples in 2013. And I just stopped by to remind us of what's important as children of the Most High God. If you look at the text, Jesus starts off in verse number 22 in Luke chapter 12 by saying, then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. And so this first word that I want to use, vortex, really, vortex is that which is at the center of something or that which is at the apex of something, depending on how you put the angle. But the vortex is, in my mind, that which is most central, most important. And so I believe that the vortex of this text is the statement about life. Look at what he says in verse 22. He says, don't worry about life. Don't worry about your life. He mentions again in verse 23, life is more important than food. Life is more than just what you put in your body. And life is more important than what you put on your body. Life is how you get up in the morning and the attitude with which you bring to your day. Life is about understanding that God has given me another day and I'm not going to squander it. Life is understanding that I still have mobility in my limbs. I got breath in my body. My blood is still running warm in my veins. Life is about second chances and third chances and other chances. God has given you not just a second chance, but a third chance. He's given you another chance. And every time you open up your eyes in the morning, you ought to say, thank God for life. Thank you for giving me another chance. Thank you for giving me another day to serve you. Thank you for giving me another day to worship you. Thank you for giving me another day to praise you. Thank you for giving me another day to lift you up. Even though I messed up on yesterday, I've got one more opportunity to get it right. Even though I fell short on yesterday, I've got another chance to not fall short on today. Even though I talked about somebody, yes, Lord, forgive me and help me to bridle my tongue today. You ought to thank God for life. We ought to thank him for life. We ought to thank God for life. Life is more than what you put on your body. And life is more than what you put inside your body. I know that our basic elements is being fed and being warm and being clothed with a roof over our head and clothes on our back. But let me tell you something. I know a lot of folk who got a roof over their head, clothes on their back, food on their table, money in the bank, nice car in the garage, but they still don't have life. They're miserable. They're upset. They're always worried about who's trying to take something from them. They're always canning all they can get and getting all they can. But when you have Jesus on your side, you're not worrying about the small stuff. You're not sweating the small stuff. Let it roll off like water. Because life is so much greater than some of the little stuff we worry about. Life is so much greater than some of the stuff we put before God. Life. John 10:10, Jesus says, I came that you might have life. And have it more abundantly. As I grow older, I got one more day at 44. My wife reminds me I'm getting older now. And I say, don't worry, you're not too far behind me. Tomorrow I'll be 45 years old. To God be the glory. If the Lord allows me to see it. And every year I get older, I don't worry. I think more about the meaning of my life. And I don't know how much more time I've got upon this planet. But with every day I get, I'm going to give God my best. I'm going to give God my all. I'm going to give Him my best praise. I'm going to give Him my best worship. I'm going to give Him my best attitude. I'm going to give Him my best service. I'm going to give Him my best money. I'm going to give Him my best rendering. Whatever I got, it all came from God anyway. And so I'm going to give God my best. Life. What is life? But having folk who love you and you love them. What is life? Then not having just things and material possessions. Jesus talks in the other text about stuff that will be eaten up by moths and rusted out over the course of time. What is most meaningful in our, what's at the vortex, ladies and gentlemen? What's at the center of it all? And Jesus says, isn't life more important than what you put on your body and what you put inside of your body? Life! He then goes deeper into this teaching about what life is and what life isn't. And he says to those of us who are believers in him, I need you to understand and I need you to exemplify this concept that life is more than the possessions and the material things that you have. And he gives them examples. And here's point number two. I want to talk about value. I want to talk about in verse number 23 and 24. In verse number 23, he says what? He says, consider, verse 24, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. He goes on in verse 27, consider the lilies, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Here's my point, go back to verse 24. He says, of how much more value are you than the birds of the air? He says, if God will take care of the birds, don't you think he has some value for you too? If God will take care of the lilies of the field, don't you know he'll take care of you too? If God will take care of the grass that's gone, that grows up one day and dies another, don't you know God will make a way for you too? You need to be reminded of who you are. He died on the cross for you. He shed his blood for you. He just doesn't do that for anybody, but he did it for those who want to be members of a royal priesthood, of a chosen generation, of a holy nation. So every now and again the devil gets me to a point where I'm having a pity party. Feeling sorry for myself. Some folk feel sorry that they're getting older. Some folk feel sorry they're not getting younger. Some folk feel sorry they got a lot. Some folk get sorry they don't have enough.
Some folks feel sorry about what's going on inside of their body, sickness and disease. And then other folk take life for granted. And yet I have to remind myself that the God I serve has got me in the palm of his hands. I'm the apple of his eye. And I'm not the only one. You're the apple of his eye. And you're the apple of his eye. All of us are the apple of God's eye. He died for us. He rose for us. He lives for us. He gave us a second chance. That's how much we are valued, beloved. And because he loves us that much, then you need to stop feeling sorry for yourself. Because he loves you that much. If he forgave you, you need to forgive yourself. So think about these very basic realities of our psychology and our psychosis. Because some of us are trapped in these positions of fear and worry and anxiety and doubt. I know there's some difficulty going on in your life right now. And listen, I don't know exactly how I would respond if I were there in the Philippines right now. But if I can tell you how I responded in January of 2010, when I and my colleagues and Lorene and Maureen and others of us landed in Haiti, and we didn't know what was about to befall us. But as we drove through the streets of Port-au-Prince and we looked at the death and destruction, all I had to do was lean back on my God and say, Lord, I don't know why you saved me. I could have been dead and gone, but I thank you, God, that you spared my life. And because you spared my life, I thank you that you love me. Because you love me, I want to give you the best of my service. I would want to believe that no matter what the circumstances that come my way, that I look at the scripture like this and I say, I know it's hard not to worry. It's hard not to get caught up in anxiety. Listen, the issue that's going on in Manila, Philippines right now and all over that great island nation is an aspect of where is God and why would God allow such a thing to happen to this nation? And yet in the midst of all that, I believe there's some Christians right now in the Philippines who are still lifting their hands up to God. Their house has been washed away, but they're still lifting their hands up to God. Maybe there's been death in their families, but they're still lifting their hands up to God. There's destruction all around them, but they're still lifting their hands up to God. And I need somebody here at 340 Reverend S. Howard Woodson Way to stop looking at what the circumstances look like and keep on lifting your hands up to God. I need you to stop looking at what the objectivity around you is telling you and keep on lifting your hands up to God. I know what the enemy has done. I know what's going on in your surroundings, but I need you to keep praising your way in the middle of your storm, even though you don't know when your breakthrough is going to happen. I need somebody to keep on saying, God is still high and lifted up. God is still on the throne. God is still the author and the finisher of my faith. God is still my rose of Sharon, my lily of the valley. God is still my way maker, my burden bearer. God is still my help in the middle of my trial. God is still. God is still. He values me. He values us. God has not forgotten about you. I know what God is doing for the ravens, and God is doing for the lilies, and God is doing for the grass, but that's not me, God. My circumstances are this, but you need to be reminded how much greater. If God will do it for them, don't you know he'll do it? But stop looking at other folk. Stop looking at other things. Just look at yourself. Look at where you were yesterday. Look at where you were a month ago. Look at where you were a year ago. Look at where you were 2 years ago. Hasn't God done something? Hasn't God been good to somebody? Hasn't God made a way out of no way? Hasn't God built a bridge over troubled waters? look at yourself. Some of us are better for having gone through what we went through. Stronger, having survived what we survived. More resilient. God, Jesus says, consider these. How much more valuable are you? Brings me to my last point. So at the center of it all, the vortex, is this notion of the meaning of life. In the middle of that statement, Jesus himself reminds me of how valuable I am. Stop listening to all the negative messages of folk who tell you you're not valuable. And look at what Jesus says. And then at the end of it all, Jesus comes to this final point about seeking. So I'm using my final word as venture. What are you venturing after? What are you going after? And in the text, Jesus says in verse number 29, do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after. But your Father knows that you need these things. He says in verse 31, but seek the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. And all of these other things shall be added unto you. He mentions the word seek three times in verse 31. And do not seek after what you should eat or drink. In verse 30, he says, don't be like the rest of the world. They seek after this stuff, but look at where it gets them. And then he ends in verse 31 that says, seek ye after the kingdom of God. And as I thought about what that word seek means, it means to go after something. That word seek means to pursue something. That word seek means to move in the direction of something. And if I look at all the times in the Bible when I see the word seek, I'm reminded of number one, where God tells me, seek and you shall find, and knock and the door shall be open unto you. And Jesus makes a statement I don't want you to miss. Don't be like the rest of the nations of the world. They seek after some stuff that does not matter. But he says to us who are members of the holy nation of the Most High God, don't be like the world, because even though you're in the world, you're not of the world. And I need you to be different. I know there's a bunch of folk who want to fit in and to be in and go along to get along. But I said last week, and I'm going to keep on saying it, Jesus did not die for you to go along to get along. Jesus died that you might be different. Jesus died so you can stand up and go against the grain. Jesus died so you can offer another opinion. Jesus died so you can give another choice. Jesus died so you can show somebody another way. Jesus died so you can be different. I know what all your co-workers are doing on your job, but you've got to be different. I know what all your family members are saying, but you've got to be different. I know what all your homeboys want you to do, but you've got to be different. I know what all your girlfriends are saying, but you've got to be different. I know what all your peers are trying to pressure you to do, but you've got to be different. He says, don't be like them in the world, for you are different. And because you are different, you can fall on your knees and lift your hands up to the Most High God and say, Lord, I don't know how, but I don't know when, but all I know is that you don't come when I want you to, but you're always right on time. Does anybody know that they serve an on-time God? You've got to be different. You've got to wait on the Lord and renew your strength. You've got to be different. You've got to stop looking at what the circumstances look like. You've got to be different.
different. You've got to stop going after what everybody else is going after. You've got to be different. Stop going after what they want and start going after what the Lord wants. Because if you put God first, He'll open doors that no man can shut. If you put God first, He'll build bridges over troubled waters. If you put God first, He'll put your enemies under your feet. If you put God first, has anybody put Him first? Has anybody put Him first? If you put Him first, all of these other things shall be added unto you. Now, He didn't say when you were going to get them. He just said you're going to get some other things. You may not even get what you've been praying for. But I'm so glad that I've been able to change my prayer. God, don't give me what I want. Give me what I need. Because everything I want isn't good for me. But if you give me what you want me to have, then I can praise you. Because I know your will is perfect. You don't make any mistakes. You are God all by yourself. I don't care what I'm going through. I'm going to hold on. I'm going to put God first. I'm going to praise Him in the morning. Praise Him in the noonday. Praise Him in the evening. I'm going to praise Him when I got a lot. I'm going to praise Him when I don't have anything. I'm going to praise Him when I'm broke and tore up from the floor up. I'm going to praise Him when I got everything going for me. It does not matter. It does not matter what I have, because a life is bigger than what I wear, what I drive, where I live, where I work. Life is bigger. And if I got joy, I'm all right. If I got peace, I'm all right. If I got long suffering, then I'm all right. If I got the fruit of the Holy Ghost, then I'm all right. I may not have a big car, but as long as I've got King Jesus, I may not live in a big house, but as long as I've got King Jesus, I may not have a fancy job, but as long as I've got King Jesus, I don't need anything else. Jesus reminds us of what's most important in our lives. What is worrying going to do for me? I'm 5'7 today. I'm going to be 5'7 tomorrow. There's some stuff we're not going to be able to change. So why bring a negative spirit to it? Bring a positive spirit to it. Get thee behind me, Satan. You got me worrying enough. I've had too many hopes. I'm rejecting that. Today I'm declaring and I'm decreeing that I am valuable in the sight of Almighty God. And God's going to fix it. God's going to straighten it. God's going to bring it. God's going to deliver it. God's going to make it. God is going to do it. But I've got to seek Him first. Put nothing before Him. Put nothing in front of Him. Put nothing beside Him. I want you to be sold out for Jesus. And tell the devil you are a liar. I'm not worried about this thing anymore. I'm putting this thing down at the foot of the throne of grace. I can't fix it myself, but God, you can straighten this thing out. I'm putting it down. Need somebody to lay it down. Sisters, I didn't know what y'all laid down at the retreat, but all I heard, y'all laid some stuff down. Keep on laying it down. Leave it alone. Let God fix it. Let God have it.
So I just stopped by to give you the first in a couple of different sermons about telling Satan, get thee behind me. For God has got more for me than what you're trying to give me right now. Somebody put good God a praise offering in this place. And lift up the name of the Lord. Thanks be to God for the great things God has done. Deacons and deaconesses, clergy, help me extend an invitation to discipleship. Stop worrying. Stop worrying. Stop worrying about it. Stop worrying about it. Listen, I've watched God do some miracles in my life. And so I know if he did a miracle yesterday, he can still do a miracle today. I'm not going to worry about it. Not going to worry about it. I'm going to keep doing what the Lord has me to do. That's what you need to worry about, just doing what God wants you to do. But don't worry about all this other stuff. Let it go. Let it go. If he takes care of the birds and the lilies and the grass, he's going to take care of you. Let it go. Let God fix it. Let God have it. Don't give up on God. Seek him first. Seek him first. The choir's going to sing in a minute. And as they do, I want to offer someone an opportunity to respond to the sermon. If you want special prayer, great. Come on, step into the aisles. And one of the deacons or the deaconess or the clergy will come and they'll pray for you. But if you want to join the church, this is your time. Step out of your seat. Come on down and give us your hand and give God your heart. But more importantly than that, if you want to say, Lord, this is the day. Look at God today. Somebody give God a praise offering. Come on, somebody. Put your hands together and give God a praise offering.